Eventually, the Bund also gave up its revolutionary proletariat positions and favored a more gradualist approach to public ownership of the means of production. In other words, it moved away from the more radical fringes of communism and adopted a more gradualistic approach. What is the legacy of this remarkable creation of socialism, of Jewish socialism, at the end of the 19th and early 20th century? As I said already, one who is interested in the history of trade unions in America, Samuel Gompers, who himself was a Jew, and the whole history of a variety of trade unions that were predominantly organized by Jews in America, needs to see that as the final link in what had emerged earlier with the Bund. In other words, there is a direct legacy between what happened in Eastern Europe and then what happens in America. And similarly, the creation of the Histadrut, the Israeli labor union, which became such a powerful force in the early years of statehood and still is a predominant force within Israeli society, needs to understand the socialist origins of the Israeli state itself. In this regard, we need to mention one other aspect, which we have not mentioned. Now we can bring these two together. Several Zionist thinkers were imbued with socialist ideals as well and created a coagulation, a fusion of socialism and Zionism. Let me mention at least two of them. One of them is A.D. Gordon, to be distinguished from the J.L. Gordon I mentioned earlier in the Haskalah, a totally different person. And another man named Bear Borokhov. Gordon was a romantic, read Tolstoy, loved the land, believed that the problem of Jewish life was that Jews were not workers and laborers. The need to get Jews out of the yeshiva, out of the academy of rabbinic learning, and have them dig horse manure. That's the ideal. To have them work in a barn or in a chicken coop, or to touch the land would transform their souls. Here, like Echad HaAm, was another spiritualist who couldn't speak about God, but he spoke about the dignity of labor, and he spoke about the romantic notion of land, and he spoke about the creation of the kibbutz. The legacy of socialist Zionism is the creation of these collective farm communities in Israel, and first in Palestine and then in Israel, an attempt not only to create an economically viable community, but to create small little communities of socialist ideals where men and women, where all community members are equal. The kibbutz was a wonderful experiment in socialist living, and it brought together the values of Zionism on the one hand, the dignity of labor, and socialist values on the other. The father of this movement was A.D. Gordon. Borokhov himself was a Marxist theoretician, who believe that essentially, if Jews are to participate in the international overthrow of the bourgeoisie, they must organize a proletariat in Israel. So he analyzed Israeli society according to Marxist prescriptions in trying to develop a new image of socialism within the context of an Israeli state. But beyond socialist Zionism and beyond trade unionism, what I want to finally leave you with is a sense that Jewish socialism offered for many a kind of surrogate religion based on a kind of socialist gospel of the dignity of the laborer, of the worker, and a secular culture grounded in Yiddish. It's very hard to imagine this today. There are only remnants that still remain of this culture. But if anyone is familiar with the culture of New York City in the 1920s and 30s, or even earlier, at the end of the 19th century, one will appreciate the Yiddish theater, Yiddish musicals, Yiddish song, the culture of Yiddish, the story of the Yiddish worker, and so on. A new culture, a new way of relating to Judaism without God, a new secular gospel, so to speak, was the legacy of Jewish socialism, the Bund, and of the Yiddish cultural leaders who brought this, the Yiddish press, which I have not mentioned at all. The power of this language to express socialist ideals became part and parcel of American culture. This was a legacy which we remember nostalgically today, but clearly was an important dimension of modern Jewish experience, both in the 19th and in the 20th century.